Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. Good to be here again this morning as we worship our God and our Savior. This morning, we are looking in Genesis chapter 12, and that's where we're going to plant our feet for a little while. You know, a few weeks ago, we began a new study book. I hope you've gotten the one for your family. If you haven't, I think there's one more available, and I'm going to order some more. I have been overwhelmed at the numbers of you that have come up to me and have expressed your thankfulness for these studies, not to me, obviously, but for the studies themselves. I hope you're taking advantage of these in your home with your family, with your children, if you have them, and with your spouse. They've been a blessing to our family, so I hope you'll take advantage of these as well. But this year, we're focusing on Jesus, His life. And if you've been looking at the studies, we went back, you know, and we're looking from the beginning and how Jesus was there before time and looking at what He's done for us throughout time, throughout the journey of this earth. And so this morning, as we continue our thoughts about Jesus, and what I want us to think about this morning are these three foundational promises that God makes to Abram, or Abraham, as we'll later know him as. As Harry alluded to before, this is an important passage of Scripture. And if you haven't studied it, please take time to think about these three promises, because they are so fundamental to God's relationship with mankind. So thankful for Abraham and for his faith and his example that he leaves for us. And here, God sets Abraham apart. And I want to notice again what he says to Abram on this day. He says, chapter 12 and verse 1, "Go from your country and from your kindred, from your family, and from your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that So that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." And so God comes to Abraham, and he makes these three very significant promises. And you notice what they are. First thing is, God says, "I'm going to give you a possession. I'm going to give you a home." Not here, not in Haran, but one I will show you. He says, I will make you a great nation. There will be many people who will descend from you, many generations. I'm going to give you a family. And then thirdly, he says, through you, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. It's interesting, a couple chapters over in Genesis 15 and verse 6, you may wonder, why did God choose Abraham? Why was it him? Why wasn't it someone else? Why him? There were other people. Well, we find out the reason in Genesis 15, verse 6. The text simply says, "And he, Abraham, believed the Lord, and it counted to him as righteousness." Or another way to say that, God accounted it to him as righteousness. Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham is the father of our faith in many ways. And we'll talk about that as we go on. And so God delivers to Abraham three important promises. All three promises have been fulfilled. All three promises have an earthly fulfillment. All three promises have a spiritual fulfillment. In Colossians chapter 2, I want you to notice something that Paul writes to the Colossian brethren. He says in verse number 16 of Colossians 2, "Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink, or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day." All those things connected with the old law, right? The law of Moses. And some of those things even predating that. But he says, these are, now notice this, a shadow of things that were to come. All right, so all those things we read about in the Old Testament were shadows. All that law given through Moses, the experiences they had as people, as God's people, were a shadow, were a reflection of what God was going to later do. Notice how he ends it, though. The reality, the substance, however, of all those things is found in Christ. In other words, all of those shadows, all those things God was doing with the Israelites, and even before the Israelites, directly here he's talking about the old law, all of those things were shadows of something to come. Now, we all know a shadow is not the thing itself. Right, when you walk and the sun is at your back, you cast a shadow in front of you. Now, your shadow is not you, but it has somewhat the image of who you are physically. But the real you is you, right? All those things were shadows, were footprints, if you will, of the work that God was working toward, those things that would come in Christ Jesus. When we look at those three promises in Genesis chapter 12, those had a reality to them that would be fulfilled earthly, but they had, more importantly, a spiritual fulfillment. And that's what I want to take a look at this morning. When we look at those three promises and what they meant first to Abraham. What did they mean to him? What did they mean to the people of God? But then I want to think more deeply about what do they mean to us? What do they mean to those who would follow the steps of Jesus Christ? Because really they find their ultimate fulfillment in him. And not Abraham. The first one that he gives, if you'll notice back in verse number 1, he says, "Go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." God is promising to Abraham a home. Now you might say, if you're Abraham, you're Abram, I have a home. I have a father. I have a family. I'm good. It's interesting what Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 say about Abraham. In that great chapter, speaking of faith, right? And he's writing about all these men and women who had great faith in God, who believed and trusted God. Verse 8 says to us, "By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going." Now I want you to think a minute for what Abraham is doing here. God has called him. And he said, I want you to get up and I want you to leave. Now I'm not going to tell you where to go or where you're going yet. I'm going to tell you where to go, but you don't know where you're heading toward. Think about the amount of faith that took on Abraham's fault, on his part. Now, we've had some of us probably in this room have taken leaps of faith in their lives in regards to where they're going to live. Maybe some in this room have gotten in a car and knew you needed to leave. You needed to go somewhere, but you weren't sure where. I know of one lady who got in the car, who left her home in the north and traveled south. She didn't know where she was exactly going. She knew she was going to go to North Carolina. She decided to stop here in Sanford. She wasn't a Christian. She didn't know anything about the church necessarily. She had some amount of belief in God and in the Bible. But while here, she happened to find the church. She got into Bible study. And she obeyed the gospel. She got in that car. She didn't know exactly where she was going. But look what God did with her. Abraham, I want you to leave. I want you to leave your home. That's a tremendous amount of faith. It's interesting when you look at the book of Acts and Stephen's sermon as he's about to be stoned to death in a short while, and he is preaching to this congregation of Jewish men and women. And he reminds them of their past, and he goes directly to Abraham, and he's reminding them of their father, and they saw Abraham as the father of their people. And he says in verse number 5, "Yet he gave him, Abraham, no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, that though he had no child." God made a promise to give Abraham a land, a home. And yet he had no possession of it, no inheritance in it. It was completely foreign to him. He had no reason to claim it. You ever been in your life when you felt like you had nothing? You ever been in that spot where you really didn't have anything? Not much? Maybe a few dollars to your name? Maybe a few possessions? Abraham's a man without a home. Abraham's a man without possessions. And here is God promising all those things. Does God make us a promise? A promise of a home? A home with Him? I love reading through John 14 and trying to get into the mindset of the apostles. Here's this teacher, their leader, their master, their Lord, who's talking about dying and leaving them, and they're all deeply troubled by it and concerned. And in John 14, Jesus is trying to comfort them. He's trying to comfort them because He knows how deeply troubled they are. And He gives them a promise in John 14, beginning at verse number 1. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in Me." You know, Abraham, it took a lot of faith on his part to believe God, to get up and leave. To leave his home, to leave his family. And he did it. Jesus is saying, you believe in God. Believe also in Me. Can we have that same kind of faith in Jesus Christ? Can we believe in Him the same way we believe in God? And he says, "In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to Myself, that where I am, you may be also." Jesus is giving them a promise. A promise of a home. Several of us in here own homes. I bet many of us in here are making mortgage payments to those homes. You enjoy writing those checks? I bet we don't. What do we realize, though, about the possessions we have? They're fleeting, aren't they? You realize something, most likely, that home you live in 100 years, somebody else will be living there. Maybe in 50 years, maybe less than that. It won't be your home. Jody built a home last year. Eventually, it won't be your home anymore, Jody. Somebody else will be living in that home. Somebody will be living in our home, not us. They come and go. What happens if we don't make those payments to the bank? They come and take our home. Those things sometimes we think we possess, we don't really possess, do we? Yet Jesus promises us something. A home that no one can come in and steal. That no one can take from us. That no one else can live in but us. A home with Him. He goes on in verse 6 and He reminds them, I am the way. Abraham got up and he left. He didn't even know where he was going. We know where we're going, don't we? Those who are children of God. And we know that Jesus is the way to that home. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one goes to the Father except Him. No one gets to that home except through Him. I love this quote by C.S. Lewis. He says, if we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. You were. You were made for something else. And that's where God is trying to get you to. We have the faith of Abraham to believe. To believe God even when it's hard to believe. Even when He asks something very difficult of us. Can we get up and go? The second promise that is offered to Abraham that God makes in making this covenant relationship with Abraham, He says in verse number 2, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Now, when God initially makes this promise, Abram is living in Haran. He's a young man. He's virile. Strong. Sarah's a young lady. Probably not as hard to believe that he's going to have children and generations to follow after him. But what happened? Years came and years went. And it became less easy to believe. You ever find yourself in that situation where life, because of what it's doing to you, it becomes less easy to trust, to believe? Abraham and Sarah devise a plan. They try to help God out, and Ishmael comes as a result of that. And God tells them, no, it's not Ishmael, it is your son. Through Sarah that I will bless. That will bless you and I'll bless the world. You remember in Genesis 18, you begin at verse 9, read through that context there. Those angels come and they visit Abraham and Sarah on their way to see Lot and Sodom. And God reiterates his promise to the angels. The promise he had made in Genesis 12. Sarah has seen a lot of life come and go. And now she's sitting there in verse number 10, and she's listening at the door of the tent as the angels are discussing this with Abraham, and as God is reiterating this problem. And she's sitting there, and verse number 11 says she was old, advanced in years, and the way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. Verse number 12 says, she laughed. Now, this isn't a funny laugh, I don't believe. This is I'm tired laugh. I'm laughing because I don't want to cry. She laughs because she knows she's older. I'm beyond those years now. How is God going to do this with me? The Lord said to Abraham in verse number 13, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Verse number 14. The Lord says to her, or says to Abraham, 'Is anything too hard for the Lord?' At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah will have a son." Sarah denied laughing, said, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said to her, "No, but you did laugh." Abraham was told in Genesis chapter 12, "Get up and leave your family. Leave your home. And I'm going to do great things with you." In Genesis 17, a chapter earlier, in Genesis 17:17, God says to Abraham, "I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you." God had promised and God delivered. We know later on after Genesis 18 that Sarah gives birth to a son, Isaac. And we know that through Isaac and even Ishmael, two great and mighty nations were formed, which led to even more nations through their seed. And God had fulfilled His promise. But there was a deeper promise there. Abraham was promised a family, a big family. And God delivered on that promise even beyond what Abraham could have imagined. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 14, as Paul is discussing the promises of Abraham and how they relate to the children of God, Christians. And he says in verse number 14, "So that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith." You notice that? In Christ Jesus comes what? The blessing of Abraham. You go on reading a little bit later in that same chapter and you get down to verse 27. And Paul reminds those Christians of their conversion to Christ. And he says, "For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither slave nor free, there's neither male nor female. There's no male or and female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise." The promise of Abraham. The promise of a family. In Christ Jesus, we are a family. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus made a promise to his disciples, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Death cannot stop what I'm doing." God gave us a family. That family was established in Acts chapter 2. As 3,000 souls were added to the church, chapter 2, verse 41. And I want you to notice the last part of that. That they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily or day by day those who were being saved. The family of God. I love the church. I love the church because it is the family of God. I love the church because it is the group of people, and that's what it is, the group of individuals whom Christ died for. Those in this room who have submitted themselves to the gospel of Jesus Christ are a part of that family. That in Christ you are brought into the family, into the household of God. And you are part of the fulfillment of the promise given to Abraham. I love the church. Do you love the church? Are you in the church? Church is the family of God. And then third and last, God gives to Abraham a blessing. A promise of a blessing to all people. You notice again the end of verse number 3. "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Back in Genesis 18, as he's there meeting with these servants of God, he says in verse 18, he reminds him again that through Abraham, a great nation, a great mighty nation will be born, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Now notice verse number 19. "For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has promised." God said to Abraham in Genesis 12:3, "You will bless all nations." Notice again the question that's asked in verse number 18 of chapter 18. "Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him." How was the world blessed through the family of God? Two senses, and the first way is in that through the family of Abraham, God taught the world righteousness. God used the children of Abraham, the Israelites, through the law of Moses. He taught the world what it meant to be righteous. He taught the world what it meant to be moral, what it meant to be a follower of God. They were to teach the world what it meant to be righteous and just. And so he blessed the nations with truth. And so the promise had an earthly fulfillment. It also had a spiritual fulfillment. Later, as the years would go, a man, a child was born who would change this world. In Galatians chapter 3 again, verses 7 and following, Paul writes to the Galatian brethren, knowing then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. In the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. And notice that, teach what he preached, the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. He taught the gospel to Abraham. Isn't that interesting? He taught Abraham, and Abraham teaches us about what it means to be faithful. About what it means to believe and trust in God. Through Abraham, God was teaching the world how he would save the world through that man, Jesus Christ. Go a bit later in the same chapter in verse 16. Now the promises in Genesis chapter 12 were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, who is Christ. It is through Jesus Christ that God gave his ultimate blessing. He fulfilled that ultimate promise that he would bless the world with salvation. In Acts chapter 3, as Peter is preaching, in Acts chapter 3 and verse 25, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, the covenant to Abraham, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, send him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. God sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to save you from your sins, fulfilling a promise long ago spoken. And so that's why Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation, or for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Again, recalling what it was about Abraham that caused God to choose him. Why did God choose you? Why will God choose you? Because you will respond in faith. Now, Abraham had a choice, didn't he? He had a choice. God said, go and leave. Abraham could have said, nope, ain't going to do it. I like it here. I'm comfortable here. This is where I like to be. We may feel very comfortable in our lives. We may be very comfortable in our sin. God's chosen you . That doesn't mean you have to accept it. You can deny God. Unfortunately, some do. The gospel is the power of salvation unto everyone who believes. Do you have the faith in God? Do you have the faith in God to make the changes necessary in your life? Do you have the faith in God to do the hard repenting that's necessary? And repenting isn't easy. Changing your life, changing the way you think about yourself, about sin, choosing God over sin. To confess Jesus as Lord, not just today, but for the rest of your life. Making that choice to choose God over the world. To choose God over your home, over your family, over your possessions. We have a family friend who's going through a very difficult time right now. He was converted to Christ about a year and a half ago. His family is not members of the church. When he converted to Christ, they threatened to disown him. He's had a very difficult way with his family ever since. Recently, he had to move out of the place he was living in. And he was going to move in with some friends of the and members of the church. His family told him, if you do that, consider us no longer your family. That's somebody living in our country, in our state. And he has to make a choice about whom he will choose, God or family. It's not a fair choice. It's not. But the world isn't going to treat us fairly. And we need to quit thinking like that. Do we have the faith of Abraham? Do you think his family gave him any trouble about leaving? Do you think maybe they asked why? What are you doing? We're called, just like Paul was called by Ananias. Why tarryest? Why wait? When you know God's calling you to repentance, to confession, to obedience and baptism. If you're a child of God who's lost their way and found themselves back in sin, God's calling you. Why are you waiting to come out of that? Why are you waiting to repent? This morning, we really need to consider our relationship with God. We need to really consider our eternity, the things that really matter. God blessed Abraham immensely in an earthly sense. But you know what? None of those things went with Abraham beyond the grave. The only thing that he could take with him was his faith and his relationship with God. The only thing you can take with you beyond this life is your relationship with God, your salvation in Jesus Christ. Everything else will be burned up. Everything else will be used by someone else. This morning, do you need to respond to the gospel? We encourage you, exhort you. If you have any need at all, please come as together we stand and sing.